the CB Wallet podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
That's right. And remember, Phil, remember that it's not our intention to make light. Remember when you said it was our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rate in some of these disasters?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case.
Oh.
Right, we're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest, Phil, right? If it came on the news, you'd be interested, wouldn't you?
I would. And if it was late at night and I was really tired, I'd switch off the telly, but I'd still listen to it on 5 Live through my speaker pillow. I'd be all night.
Absolutely. Okay, what are we talking about this week?
The Great Smog of London, 1952, a real pea super.
Special filtering bunny masks are the latest weapons devised to combat smog, which last winter killed 4,000 Londoners in a single week. Dogs as well can be protected against the deadly fumes, which throw a heavy pall across Britain's big cities every year. Ordinary fog does little harm, but smog, a mixture of smoke and fog, has become one of the greatest mass murderers of modern times. Every year, railways, factories and private homes exude 2.5 million tons of smoke over England and Wales. New flats without chimneys are part of the campaign to clear Britain's air. Until smokeless fuels are more widely used and gas and electricity play their full part in homes as well as in factories, smog will continue to shroud our cities and to kill.
Do you know what smog means?
It's a mixture of smoke and Jacob Rees-Mogg. Is it?
That's good.
Is that right?
Yeah. Smoke and fog.
Smoke and fog.
Smog.
Oh, okay. Is there much smog about anymore?
Yeah, there is. It's just it's less visible, but it is there.
Invisible smog?
Well, there's particles.
Oh, God.
Hey. Particles, like fecal flakes. They're there.
What a callback.
Yeah.
What a callback to an earlier Ultimate Scrutiny episode, the fecal flakes episode. Fecal flakes do not exist.
They do.
And yet, for some reason, you're quite upset about fecal flakes.
They exist.
What makes you think they exist?
I would not eat a sandwich in a toilet. Fecal flakes.
I don't care. I don't care about that in the slightest.
You're eating your own turds and other people's in flake form.
Really?
Invisible flake
Are
form
sure?
turds is what you're eating.
I think it's the word flake. Like, oh. I can understand if you say, oh, maybe there's particles in the air, but there aren't, are they?
There are.
Poo particles in the air.
They're fecal flakes in the air. Okay. Invisible turds flying at you.
This is just mental illness. You know that, don't you? There's no such thing as airborne turd that can get in your sandwich.
There
Even
is.
At a festival, that isn't a thing.
There
well,
is.
Maybe at a festival, I guess. Okay, Phil, so a repeat super. Didn't happen in the West Country, but for some reason that seems appropriate. So, Philip, a right piece super, what was it?
It was a severe air pollution that hit London.
When did it happen?
The 5th to the 9th of December 1952.
Ooh, lovely, just before Christmas. How many people died?
Well, 4,000 people died as a direct result of the smog, and 100,000 more were made ill by the smog's effects on the human respiratory system, the human respiratory tract.
Right. Do I need to act fast? Is that what I need to do now? One side of your face has dropped.
Respiratory tract. Human respiratory tract.
Okay.
Current thinking, however, is that the total number of deaths in the aftermath of the smog was around 12,000 people.
That's insane.
It is mad, isn't it? We have memorials and statues for people who, you know, nowadays, and minute silences for people who just damage their fingernails.
Yeah,
anything.
Absolutely.
Why isn't this massive?
I mean, 9/11 is 3,000. That's incredible. I bet if you went out into the street now, right, and asked anybody what the Great Smog of London was, no one would know what that was.
No.
I bet no one would even know anybody died. And if you said a repeat super, they'd just, again, think of Jack the Ripper films.
Yeah.
Because some Menzies happened in the 50s.
This is what I don't understand. Why isn't it a massive thing? I mean, yeah, the people who were there remember it, people of my mother's age and stuff.
You see, it's living memory as well,
yeah.
Which is so bonkers. It's like not even that long ago.
Yeah.
And no one remembers it. Nobody talks about it. In fact, nobody talks about it so much that it wasn't even on our original list of disasters, was it?
No, it just came up in conversation.
Yeah, when you go, oh, yeah, there was that huge death toll thing that happened in London, one of the world's biggest, most famous cities, only about 70 years ago. Yeah. But for some reason, everyone has forgotten it.
Yeah, why isn't there a massive film about it?
Is there?
That's going to be really annoying. Apparently, The Crown, which I've never watched, did something about it relatively recently, something to do with Churchill that involved the London smog, but apparently it was all wrong. Of course it was.
How would you make a film, though? How would you make a film about it? It'd just be murky. Like a murky film.
Yeah, but you could personalise it like, oh, Hollywood always do, don't they? But put human emotion into it.
So you'd have like
focus
a couple.
Focus on one family.
You could have a couple who like get together and then they get lost in the fog and it's about them trying to get back.
Yeah,
together,
they get back together or someone meets someone in the fog. And,
yeah, and loses someone in the fog.
Yeah. I
mean, boy meets girl. Mm. Boy loses girl in fog.
Yeah.
Boy finds girl in fog. And then what? Hit by a train?
Something like that at the end, yeah.
Okay, sounds good to me. So go on then. What's the background? Background me.
Oh, background me up. Okay. Well, okay. Well, to do that, Phil, we kind of need to look at the context of London life. Smog was quite the norm. In 1952, and it was quite the norm in London anyway. Certainly not the first time this had happened. London had suffered what had been known, or what became known as pea supers for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, we've already mentioned pea super, but do you want a largely unofficial but pretty effective definition of pea super?
Yeah.
A very thick and often yellowish, greenish or blackish fog caused by air pollution that contains soot particles and the poisonous gas sulfur dioxide.
Yellowish, greenish, black. Mm. They are the worst colours for anything to be, aren't they? Because these are the colours of disease and cancer and bruising and everything horrific about human life.
And the German flag.
And the exactly. Case rested. But they didn't seem to give two tits, really.
They just carried on. I think that's lovely.
What, those colours?
No, the fact that despite these...
I've seen your living room.
Despite these, very Moroccan. Despite the, do you remember when Moroccan living rooms were the thing in
we
the sort of late
have,
90s?
We still have some remnants. We've still got the Moroccan coffee table. It was very big, wasn't
the kind
it, for
of
a while?
Reddish, sort of bricky look with a two-tone yellow sand and
no, it's the more sort of bought it in an airport lounge, you know, on the way back from
but it was that things. Look wasn't it,
yeah,
Moorish in so
Moorish.
Many ways, yeah. I had it as well,
terribly Moorish
in my flat in Slough in the late 90s. I had it Moroccan themed. Yeah, I had sand, top half of the wall.
Yeah.
Dado rail was already there when I moved in. I didn't have a choice.
I can't see you buying a dado
rail.
No.
Underneath a kind of reddish, brickish thing. Mm. You know, Moroccan-y type, wooden-y tables, big rugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it was very big, wasn't it?
I don't know how people seduce nowadays, but in the old days, just turn your flat into a
Put on the Gypsy Kings.
No, I think it's lovely. This, despite the horrendous conditions and thousands of painful deaths these fogs caused, we called it something plucky and British.
So we used to be a bit more like this, didn't we? We used to be a little bit more humour in the face of adversity, and now we're literally on our back crying at any given moment whatsoever. It's taking everything vastly more seriously than it needs to be taken.
Yeah.
So pea super is quite a sort of chummy nickname.
I like it.
Mm.
That's sort of very British, isn't it, pea super?
Mother, sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, Craig's a lordy vicar.
Yeah, that sort of thing,
That's
isn't
how
it?
I understand it.
Yeah, yeah. But they weren't just called pea supers. They did have other names, right? There was also called the black fog.
See, that's more scary.
Yeah, or killer fog.
Very scary.
But to me, they're still both sort of plucky British names. They're both, think about it, Phil, they are both perfectly good titles for 1940s Gainsborough studio films.
They do seem like old films, don't they?
The black fog!
The black fog sounds like he could possibly be a highwayman.
Oh, yes.
Called Stephen Fogg or something like that. Whittaker's Fog. Don't want to stay long. A black fog's been through here.
Another name that the fogs were given, and I really like this one in a plucky British way, was a London particular.
Sounds like an ale. That's the thing that fucks me off, right? Now that would be an ale. When I, in the 90s, you could go into a pub and buy a beer, right? Now, I don't think I've bought the same beer more than once in the last like 10 years.
Oh, because everything is craft.
Everything's craft. So you go and you go, oh, can I have a sheep's cooch, please? Oh, can I have a pair of tits? Like, you used to be able to go into a pub and just get a beer.
Yeah.
And now I have to go, oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Another thing is, as well,
Poddler's piss.
You've got them all in front of you, right? And this one is 3.1%. Mm-hmm. It's called Toddler Pee. This one is 4.8%. It's called Captain Marrakesh, right? This one is called Duvet at Arms, right? 17.5%. And no one goes, oh, that's very, very strong. That's basically, these two are like drinking like punch. Mm. This is like drinking, it's basically a pint of Jägermeister. So you're going to need to know. I did that gig the other day. I had one pint of IPA and I had a hangover for like 6 days.
Was that the gig that you and I both did together? Because you were bollocks for that.
I was so pissed because no one told me that I was drinking petrol.
You don't get that if you're a Tory like me and drink wine.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, you know exactly what you're getting, don't you? Merlot.
Merlot, yes. Mm. Chardonnay.
Shiraz.
Shiraz. Malbec. Okay. Never get a bad Malbec. Just, top tip for you there.
Just some of the Tory wines.
So
London Particular sounds like a beer.
I love that.
I'd have a pint of London Particular.
I also think it sounds like a black and white film.
London Particular.
It's a farce involving an incompetent civil servant, probably starring Alistair Sim and a very young George Cole.
Right.
But that's all well and good. So you've got all these names: Pea Super, Black Fog, Killer Flog, London Particular.
Yeah.
This is where I think it gets even more wonderfully British, right?
Right.
Not content with giving them whimsical names to this mass murdering pollution, London Particular actually became a generic name for a thick pea and ham soup. Even better. What's for dinner tonight, darling? I hope it's Bhopal Gas Disaster Curry. I think that's wonderful.
That's so
British.
I sort of hesitate to say that it's a British thing because it isn't anymore, I don't think. Because I don't think Britain is like this anymore. But that is something that we used to be like, isn't it? Take something horrible and you turn it into something else. You know what I mean? So you can laugh at it. It was a much, much better way to be, I think.
I think so. One of the earliest uses of the phrase pea soup was by a young artist in Victorian London called John Sartain. But slightly pre-Victorian, actually. This is a quote from him. I slink home for a fog of... Hang on, I'm going to give my best Victorian eerie voice. Pre-Victorian.
Shall I put a...
She was 1832, it's 1820, so... 1837 she was, actually, I've got it wrong.
Overthinking it.
William, I think this was.
Shall I put some scary music over this?
Yes.
Okay. Is that all right?
Oh, that's good. I slink home through a fog as thick and as yellow as the pea soup of the eating house. Return to my painting room, and having opened my window when going out, I find the stink of my paint rendered worse, if possible, by the entrance of the fog, which being a compound from the effusions of gas pipes, tan yards, chimneys, dryers, blanket scourers, breweries, sugar bakers and soap boilers, may easily be imagined not to improve the smell of a painting room.
That's beautiful.
Thanks very much.
It's very good. It's very evocative. The thing I particularly liked about that was that you said, instead of dyers, which I imagine is people tanning leather, you said dryers.
Did I?
So I got this image of those people's drying machines pumping out yellow smog.
Well, I'm not a trained voice artist.
Why the hell was London being constantly rained upon by soot particles? I mean, that's not normal, is it?
Well, no. Let me break it down in simple terms for you, Phil. This very thick smog is derived from smoke.
Yep.
Okay, which is given off by the burning of coal
in
the home and from sort of chimney factories. Now, this had been a problem in London ever since coal first started to be used en masse in the sort of 1600s. But of course, the rapid industrialisation in the early 1800s led to a city that was full of factories, chimneys, homes packed very tightly together, and power stations. Put all that together and they are the perfect elements for a regular and often persistent smog.
I can see how this would happen.
Right.
Because if you one day turn on a pea super, people would be absolutely... But this is like the frog in a pan of water heating up, isn't it? You know, that old bullshit thing that if you put a frog in a bowl of boiling water, it'll jump out.
Mm.
But if you put a frog in a bowl of cold water and gently heat it up, the frog just sits there and boils.
Oh, okay.
It's actually bullshit. What happens is the frog jumps out.
At a certain temperature.
Yeah, because it's not an idiot, a frog.
Yeah.
There's one thing I've always said, it's that a frog is not an idiot. And it's the same as this, right? I reckon it's 1600, bit smoky, just gets slightly more smoky, slightly more smoky, slightly more smoky. Then you have two fuck-off wars where no one really cares how smoky it is because your legs are on fire. And then all of a sudden you're in this situation, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? I can totally see how that would happen.
Yeah, it's a sort of slow build-up, increasing industrialisation.
Yeah.
People want to be warm.
And they like lights.
Lights,
yeah,
which means power stations.
They like having a fire in the house.
They like having the decent things that any self-respecting family would want.
Nice roaring fire.
Oh, nice roaring fire. In 1873, 700 Londoners died in a single week because of the smog. And in 1880, 2,000 were killed. See, this is not was not unusual.
Yeah.
They kind of knew that the smog was poisonous, but they didn't totally understand what it was.
Right.
They kind of knew that soot particles weren't good for you.
Yeah.
But they also, I think the main thing they thought is that the fog stopped the sun getting through. And the lack of sun was the thing that was really not very
good for
you.
They thought it was vitamin D deficiency.
Well, there was a little bit of that, yeah.
They're all smoking as well, aren't they,
yeah,
I suppose?
Yeah, so...
They're all smoking. They got yellow mist around them, pumping out of their washer dryers, right? And they're all going, God, I tell you what, I am pale. Oh, I'm pale.
So what's important to understand here, you see, is that smogs, as awful as they were sort of somewhat normal. People live with them. Accepted them.
I guess, like road traffic deaths.
Yeah.
You know, now, shitloads of people get killed on the roads, right? And we just sort of accept that, don't we?
Yeah, you sort of think, well, okay, the importance of having cars
outweighs the amount of people who are decapitated on the M25. Is there a better thing than road deaths? That's the thing that really kills us, isn't it?
I think it's quite accurate. I think most people just accepted smogs as a kind of necessary result of having an industrialised society, and people were able to have basic heating, you know, I think.
Deafers.
But that makes it quite interesting because, you know, you've mentioned it before. You know, when you see all these sort of atmospheric Dickensian adaptations on TV, or like the you know, the Jack the Ripper, and they're all down side alleys and it's all fog. That isn't just fog. That is soot and poisonous gas that very likely would kill people
in their thousands. Isn't it?
And sometimes almost instantly.
That's wicked. Like, if you watch I know we talked about Jack the Ripper in the Islana podcast, but that's really interesting. You see a Jack the Ripper film, like, the atmosphere is killing more people in that film than the murderer.
Yeah. It's mad. Oh, smoky London. Killing... Sulfur dioxide polluted London.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
That's what it is, yeah. Actually, talking of that, at the turn of the 20th century, Claude Monet came to London to paint, and partly because he was fascinated by the colours and the atmosphere that the smog gave the city. And when you go to the galleries in London, where his London paintings are, you can see they're all incredibly smoky, not just because he had bad eyes.
Yeah. Have you seen the water lilies and the orangery in Paris?
I have.
Not great, is it?
All right.
It does sort of look like bad decorating because it's all the way round.
Oh, I think he had cataracts.
Yeah, he was blind, right? Yeah. He was blind and had paint. That's not a genius.
No. Any community centre.
I know.
You'll see that level of art.
Absolutely. I don't agree with this thing that people go, oh, you know, I could have done that, and you know, but you didn't. But some of Monet's stuff, the later stuff, does look like you've tied a paintbrush to the back of a horse. All right, so what was particularly Hendra's? Why, if they were used to it, why is this one bad? This one in December 1952, why was that so horrible?
Firstly, early December 1952 was particularly cold. Okay, that meant that obviously people were burning lots and lots of coal to keep warm, and power stations were burning lots and lots of coal to keep producing power.
Yeah.
And this is another thing. Don't forget that in the 50s, London had three massive power stations, all within 4 miles of Trafalgar Square.
Yeah.
Battersea, Bankside, Lots Road.
And now they're all art galleries.
All the art galleries, It shows what fops we've become. that is a lot of extra pollution.
What, the art galleries?
Or some of the stuff in the Tate Modern, to be fair.
I quite like modern art. Do you know what I quite like about modern art? Mm. Is that modern art describes a period that was, what, 40 years ago?
Secondly, the kind of coal being burnt was cheaper, more polluting than normal. Britain was broke in the early 50s. So to try and balance its debt, the nationalised coal industry was selling its really good sort of good quality coal abroad to try and balance the debt. So this cheaper, more polluting coal with a much higher sulphur content was the stuff that was being burned in London in homes. So
crack coal.
Yeah, crack coal doesn't help, more sulphur. So that's kind of where we were in 1952 with burning of coal.
Right.
So the weather, we've already said it was cold.
Yeah.
Coupled with that, it was windless.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Still. Terribly, terribly still, Mother.
Now, windless meant that smoke from chimneys wasn't being taken away by the wind, just hanging around.
Just hanging in the air.
And this is it. Now, on top of this, on December the 5th, the first day of the smog, London was directly under the centre of an anticyclone. Now, what? They're like a cyclone, yeah, but they hate cyclones, anticyclones.
Really?
They really hate cyclones.
Just go along to anticyclone rallies.
Yeah, can't stand them.
What really is... what is an anti... I genuinely don't know what one is.
Okay, so imagine if you've got a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's circulating air at the outside edges of that circle going all the way around.
Right.
Inside, nothing is happening. It's just completely...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Nothing is moving. So what's happening is the smog and the fog...
Kettled.
Yeah, they're building up. They're staying in there. Fresh air can't get in.
Yeah.
And dirty air can't get out. And so you had this bubble of smog over London that couldn't get anywhere and just hung in the air.
That's ironic, isn't it? Seeing as London has been in a bubble ever since, hasn't it?
I wonder if Brighton's got smog. London was screwed, in short.
Sounds fucking horrific.
Mm. Well, that's my bit, Phil. What happened?
So, as we said, the important thing to remember is that London smog, it was an everyday part of London life, wasn't it? They were used to it. Probably gave it a bit of atmos in terms, you know, I reckon some people quite enjoyed it.
I reckon kids did.
Kids probably did.
Till they died.
Do you know what? Anything different. Anything different. You know, if it's like really windy or something. Do you remember the storms in 1980, weather storms? A tree fell through my dad's house, nearly killed him. And I still remember that as one of the funnest days of my childhood. So it wasn't an event where everyone panicked. Everyone was nice and calm. Nobody went on Facebook. Nobody... Imagine Facebook that day. God. Hey, guys, fogging outside.
WTF going on?
Do you know when there's a thunderstorm? Or it's snow? No, it's snowing is the worst. Like, you go on Twitter and everyone's going, it's snowing?
Called weather, mate.
Go fuck yourself, Twitter. So nobody panicked. No one panicked at all. There was no fear. People just thought the smog was worse than normal and just carried on doing their everyday things. Right? I just can't think that we would do that now. We would panic and scream and cry.
Buy bread.
Buy bread. Mm. And everybody who was screaming and crying would have somebody over standing next to them telling them they were brave for screaming and crying.
We couldn't cope with disaster nowadays.
I don't think I could cope. At around 3 p.m. on the 5th, the usual fog started to get even more dense. It was heavy, Phil. Mm-hmm. It had a yellow tinge and a sulphur smell. Ooh. Right, so like your bathroom. Remember with the mushroom? Did you have any more mushrooms?
No. We've had it a whole thing retiled and replaced.
Have you?
Yeah.
You don't mess about, do you?
No, you see, what we do is when you get something horrendous like that, that is embarrassing, you go, this problem needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
We got the finest builder in.
Really?
The finest tiles.
Wow.
Completely ripped the bath out.
Did you?
All done.
That's amazing. Mm. Do you know what happens when I get a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Leave it. Leave it, mate. Within that horrifying, heavy, yellow-tinged sulphur smog were black and grey soot particles that clung to everything. So you literally sort of, like being next to a bonfire, right?
It's
sort of like, Jesus Christ. Put up with
anything. A chemical bonfire.
A chemical bonfire.
Yeah. It's a good name for a band.
It's a good name for a band.
But in early 90s shitwave, slightly industrial.
It's sort of Ned's Atomic Dustbin, isn't it, I think. Okay, as the days progressed, things got so bad that people couldn't see more than a foot in front of them.
Mm.
Buses and trains tried continuing to run, God bless them.
Of course they would.
Of course they did.
This is a plucky generation.
Yeah. But nobody could see anything. Streetlights were on, but they were non-existent, which is ironic because that's what's causing the smog, isn't it? Keeping the streetlights on.
Yeah.
People had to walk by following tram lines, like Stand By Me. Or linking people together to form human chains.
Yeah.
At some point.
Like a non-sexual human centipede.
Somebody must have at some point said, this is unacceptable, isn't it? All I'm doing is going to my job at Willy Wonka. Chocolate shop, right? See if I can get a golden ticket. And I am having to literally follow the tram lines with my feet. Yes, I mean, I imagine there'd be a petition now.
Oh, God, yeah.
There'd be such a petition.
One of those online ones that mean nothing.
Yeah, ticket and then go back to your day job. Okay, it wasn't just outdoors either. The smog seeped. I love this because this is like the John Carpenter film. It seeped into people's houses and everywhere was covered with a sort of grey soot. You can see it, can't you? Sort of crawling along the ground, getting into people's boudoirs.
That film would have been inspired by something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At Sadler's Wells Theatre, the opera La Traviata was halted because of the noise of choking.
It's not funny, Phil.
It is a bit funny. I know it isn't
people
funny.
Were choking but during an opera.
It's a bit funny. Can you stop choking to death? It's very rude. The reason it's funny, I think, is because they're being gassed at the opera. And no one's going, guys!
They are elements where you go, should we sack this off?
Should we sack this off? Yeah. I can't...
This opera's not working for me.
Yeah, it's not working because I can't hear it because I'm choking to death, and I can't see it because this room is filled with...
acrid, acrid poison.
I mean... It's not perfect. Dog racing at White City was abandoned because the greyhounds couldn't see the hare.
And we all know that London works on dog racing. Get rid of that, London falls apart.
London falls apart. It was ever thus.
Poor little greyhounds.
Could they not smell the hare? Go by smell?
Real. Oh, they do douse them in something, don't they?
Do they?
I think so.
Hair piss or something. Another IPA that I used to drink. And, Phil, at the annual Smithfield Livestock Show at Earl's Court, the cattle gasped for air and collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
More than a dozen had to be slaughtered to put them out of their suffering.
What a show! You find this hilarious.
It's so... The thing is funny is that it's so fucking mad. Like, you just get a picture of people going, oh, all the cows are dead. Mother went to the opera, she's dead. But, you know, hey-ho, carry on.
This is the thing, there was no panic.
There is a point, though, where you think maybe a bit of panic is probably a little bit what's needed, isn't it?
Well, might get things done.
Yeah. A bit fast. Yeah, come on, lads.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Getting worse. I can't bloody see anybody. Choking my guts up.
Nana's just vomited something yellow and is dead.
Yeah, Nana's vomiting blood. Write a stern letter. To get a real snapshot of London during those 5 days, it is worth looking at some memories of people who were there and people who are still alive. This is living memory. It feels like something that happened in Victorian London, but it's not.
No.
That's the thing that gets me.
It's mad. I was talking to my mum the other day about this. Yeah. I said, do you remember it? She said, oh, yeah, I remember it really clearly. And she said, oh, I remember it because it was my first day at work. She said, I got the train. As soon as I left the station, I couldn't even see a hand in front of me. I had no idea where I was going, which direction my new office was.
That's insane.
She eventually got there.
Just by feel.
Yeah.
Feel alone. Mm. I mean, I'm not a hard worker, but I think if I had to feel my way to work, that is grounds for day off.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Mm. So I'm not coming in today because I don't know where you are. We've got some more 50s reminiscences from the Great London Smog.
Yes, we've got some. These are genuine quotes from people who experienced the fog. A gentleman called Jeff Boxall said... I still have vivid memories of the smog, yellow writhing snakes that crept indoors so that sitting at your table you had a blurred view of the coal fire.
Fucking hell! Yeah.
My great-grandfather died as a result of chest infection, and I think this is the worst bit. I remember us visiting him while they had him in an oxygen tent, then looking out of the hospital window and seeing nothing. I mean, that's as bleak as it gets.
Yeah.
Your great-grandfather is dying because of the smog.
Yeah.
You're watching him die... And you're looking out the hospital window and you can't see anything because of the thing that's killed him.
I mean, it's terrifying, right? Why was nobody terrified? I just do not understand it. Theresa P.
Mm.
Anonymised.
What?
Anonymised.
What?
Anonymised.
What does that mean?
Well, her name's not Theresa P, is it?
That's what I got given.
Where'd you get Theresa P from?
From the internet.
Okay. Well, Theresa P remembers walking to school with a wooden scarf wrapped tightly around...
Woolen.
What did I say?
I think you said wooden.
Yeah, wooden scarf. 50s, isn't it?
Everything was made of wood in the 50s, wasn't it?
It's either wood or aluminium, isn't it? Theresa P., I remember walking to school with a woolen scarf wrapped tightly around my mouth and nose, feeling our way along the hedgerows. It's so unacceptable.
Yeah.
Holding hands to not get lost. The black soot on the scarf when I took it off at school. I remember the chronic bronchitis that seemed to last all winter. I mean, it's mad.
Mm.
It feels so unacceptable. It feels so unacceptable.
This is what I can't understand.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everyone know about this?
Yeah.
Why is this something, just a footnote in the occasional bit of writing about London?
And like, just now everything, because now everything is vegan and clean eating and everyone, you know, the shit that they had to put up with.
Just to walk to school.
And statistically, this is the time human beings were most happy in this country.
It's true.
Everyone's fucking miserable now. We need to get some shit coal on the go.
Benito.
Mussolini?
I'm going to call him Ben, actually, I think.
Okay.
Ben, I remember boarding a double-decker bus during a 50s smog early one evening and looking in vain for the conductor. He turned out to be out in front of the bus, walking about 6 foot in front of the bus, waving a torch to show the driver where the road was. From the back of the bus, you could not see the front of the bus, and the choking air was a ghastly grey-green colour and stank of sulphur.
This would make me panic. I would absolutely panic.
There's a point you go, this is beyond normal.
Yeah. I'd be scared, terrified, or I'd run away.
Mm.
Margaret Swift from Blackpool, so she's used to it. I used to love the fog. God bless her. I used to love the fog. When you couldn't see who was in front of you, it was always exciting and mysterious. I was only a kid then, but I loved playing outside when the fog was around. I always came in with a black face. Yeah. It was brilliant. I do miss it. And I can see how it would be. I mean, I could see if you didn't know it was going to kill you. If you didn't know that's what it was, right? It's interesting and different and weird and cool, right?
But it is hard to see whether Margaret is actually saying she'd like to go back to those days or whether she just didn't quite understand it at the time, because she's saying, I do miss it.
So that's a snapshot of the picture in London that was sort of hung around for about 4 days. 4 whole days. Mm. People were dealing with that shit. So, Phil, it was only as that death toll started to mount up. And sometimes it happened immediately. People literally just collapsed where they stood. Sometimes a day or a week or a month later, that people really realised that this was something out of the ordinary. So, like, Dad's dead, Mum's dead, now I'm starting to feel peaky. Maybe something has gone wrong here.
I better call Dr. Choke.
That's right. Okay. Undertaker started to run out of coffins and florists started to run out of flowers.
No point, couldn't have seen them anyway.
What is the point?
Yeah,
just write the word flowers on a bit of paper and stick it on a corpse. Ambulances trying to take people who had collapsed or were suffering respiratory diseases either couldn't leave their base or couldn't find their way in the smog either to the patient or the hospital. Why, I mean, is it funny?
That is a clusterfuck of problems.
I think it's funny because it's so mad. I know it's not funny.
You're not laughing at the...
I'm not laughing at the dead people.
You're just laughing at the sheer clusterfuck of everything and how
everyone's
this
dying.
Is just getting...
Yeah, they can't drive an ambulance because he can't see anything. Mum's dead, you can't buy her a coffin. You can't find your way at the florist's.
Mad, isn't it? It's like a Labour government.
It's worse than a Labour government. Hospitals were soon overfilled with patients suffering from acute respiratory diseases like pneumonia, bronchitis, tuberculosis and heart failure. And there was really nothing to be done. There's literally nowhere you could go.
Mm.
And because Londoners still don't think there's anywhere other than London. Didn't occur to one of them to go to Watford Gap and have a bit of fresh air. People essentially were choking to death.
Yeah, I think once people got this, there's no recovery.
Really?
You just died a slow, painful death.
Fucking insane. Mm. In one address in Marylebone, undertakers removed 10 bodies.
One address.
The address of a certain Mr. Dennis Nielsen. He lived there.
Well, interesting enough, this was happening at exactly the same time as across London. This was happening at exactly the same time as John Christie was knocking off all those people and burying them in his kitchen and his garden and in his behind his wallpaper.
I bet this helped Christie then, didn't it? No, he didn't abduct people, Christie.
No, he didn't abduct people, but this was happening at the same time.
Christie invited people round for a bit of tea, didn't he?
Would you like to come over?
Have a bit of tea.
Lovely cup of tea.
Lovely cup of tea.
Don't panic, Muriel. No, don't panic, Muriel. Oh, you're allowed to come round for a lovely cup of tea. I sometimes do that to Jules and it just generally freak her out.
I think that the time has come, Phil. Mm. We've had a laugh, haven't we?
Mm.
We've discussed the smog, but I think it's time that we dealt with the aftermath.
Okay, you like the aftermath,
don't you?
Love
the aftermath, it's my favourite bit.
Well, okay, after 5 days, on the 9th of December, the weather finally changed. A breeze came through, cleared the air and blew the fog out to the North Sea.
Like in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, like in Mary Poppins.
Nor'easter, blown in! And then Mary Poppins blows out.
Well, you know, films are all based on something, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
So this fog blew out to the North Sea, where it probably landed on some Danish fishermen, which is fair enough. Yep. So London was left with the oily residue on buildings and trees.
Which has never gone.
No.
Never left it.
No. London is an oily residue, isn't it? No, but it was as if the city had sort of been sprayed black. But then you had the rain that came away, washed the grime into the gutters, which produced a kind of evil-smelling trickle of sooty gunge.
They gathered together and created Shoreditch.
Phil Gerard, ladies and gentlemen. Soon after that, all gone.
Oh, just went.
But the numbers from the immediate deaths of those 5 days were added up, and they think that there were about 4,000 deaths as a result of the smog.
Right.
In fact, the initial government report on the event, published 11 months after, showed the death toll was actually 12,000.
Right.
Okay. But 4 months after that report, a health minister appointed committee subtracted 8,000 deaths from that total by declaring a cut-off point of December the 20th, 1952.
Clever girl.
As opposed to the earlier report, which went to late February 1953. The argument was that those 8,000 deaths after the cut-off point were not smog-related and were due instead to a flu epidemic.
Right.
Now, this is an argument.
Is it bullshit?
Well, it's very much debated today, particularly as the World Health Organization statistics from that same period claim that the flu deaths were only 457. So what essentially you're saying
is... Seems convenient, doesn't it?
12,000 people were killed.
Yeah, and they're just trying to lessen that because that's unacceptable. Mm. So, I mean, even in the 50s, people ask questions.
There was a point, wasn't there, where they weren't plucky and carrying on. They were like, something's amiss.
Put the Tupperware down and let's sort this out. The minister responsible was Harold Macmillan. Did you see his cock?
Super Mac. No, I saw Edward Heath's cock.
Oh, okay. So the minister responsible
was... I'd like to have seen Harold Macmillan's cock.
You think?
Well, he was a more established politician, higher standards. I mean, he met Kennedy.
His comment in the House of Commons seems to suggest that he felt very little could be done. Very, very little can be done.
Good impression.
Is that how he sounded?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Didn't he?
It was exactly as you'd imagine a 1950s old Etonian conservative politician to sound.
His comments in the House of Commons seems to suggest that he felt that very little could be done, God bless him, and what had occurred was to be expected when living in a large industrialised city that regularly experienced a whole variety of different weather systems. Look, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's sunny, sometimes you go outside, he'll kill you, and that's fine. Because that's London, mate. London, living in London. Hip, yep, knees up, mother brown. However, the pressure to do something increased, and secret scientific reports were coming through to the government showing that there was a real problem. Mm. At last, a report. The corpses in the street are not enough. At last, somebody has written some of this shit down. Macmillan was still reluctant, though, as this declassified quote from 1953 shows, Phil.
Ridiculous as it appears, I suggest we form a committee. We cannot do very much, but we can be seen to be very busy, and that is half the battle nowadays. There are some short-term things we can do. We can gain popularity by them, the masks, etc.
Wow, that is cold.
that's brutal, isn't it?
It's brutal. And the thing is, like, so hasn't changed either.
No.
Like, just can't do anything about this. But global warming, innit? Can't do anything about it. Tell you what, how about we ban plastic bags? That'll make people feel better as they're sliding into the sea. The government gave out, is that 3 million?
3 million, yeah.
The government gave out 3 million masks that it knew would have nothing but a placebo effect.
Yeah,
utterly useless for smog.
I tell you another thing that was proposed is that the United States said that they would supply London with 100,000 gas masks.
Yeah.
The only problem was that these masks would be advertising a new filter for a brand of cigarette.
Perfect. So they said what? They said no?
The offer was rejected. And if you look at the declassified documents, you can see that whatever minister has just written on the proposal, damn silly.
Okay, so despite all this nonsense, the 1952 disaster was a massive factor in the later passing of the Clean Air Act, 1956, Phil, which is why you're breathing quite so easily these days. Mm. You take it for granted, you piece of shit. It was a start of removing sulfur dioxide and coal smoke from the air.
Yes, it was one of the early Clean Air Acts. There was another one in the 60s, and I think they were both rescinded, and there was a newer act in 1993, which I think covered a lot of the detail from those ones. It's worrying, isn't it, that I know about the Clean Air Act 1956? Like I say, it's my era. I like to keep up with events.
It's heartening that you know about the Clean Air Act 1956.
Yeah.
They introduced smoke control areas in some towns and cities in which only smokeless fuels could be burned.
Yep.
Can you name one? Let's say Milton Keynes.
That's what I say, Milton Keynes, yeah. I mean, it hadn't been built then, but hey.
Well, it must be true then. Shifted homes, sources of heat towards cleaner coals, electricity and gas. Yep. Turn that fire down, mother. Measures to relocate power stations away from cities. Turn the old ones into art galleries. Mm. Fill them with dickheads. Mm. And increase the height of chimneys.
That'll do it.
Just pump it into space, mate. Pump that shit into space.
Okay, so today the death toll in the aftermath of the smog is considered, as we said, to be around 12,000 people.
So unacceptably high.
Totally unacceptably high. But it's also thought that about 100,000 people were left with respiratory-related conditions for the rest of their lives.
Jesus.
You know? And many of those people died years earlier than they should have done simply because of what they inhaled that December in 1952.
See, this is how it used to be. Like, my grandmother died, like, in her 60s, really early. Mm. And she died of lung cancer because... And she never smoked, but she lived through this, obviously. Mm. And, you know, used to work in a paint factory.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, you work in a paint factory, you're going to die in it. That's just the way it is. It's mental.
Yeah, it's like, you should be grateful for a job.
Yeah.
You got employment, you can put food on the table. Yeah, I know there's the byproduct, but life's brutal.
Life is brutal. So, Phil, that was the pea super, the 1952 smog that killed a whole shitting load of people that no one really noticed, bizarrely. I'm sure they noticed at the time. Well, they didn't even seem to notice at the time.
They didn't bother, did they? Just cracked
on.
They didn't
seem that arsed.
Actually, saying that, we obviously can't do this because we are on audio format. Have a look at the photographs online of London fog, smog 52. Fascinating. There's movie footage as well. Obviously, don't take the piss. Clearly, it's not filmed at the worst part. Otherwise, there'd be very boring photos. But
yeah,
the ones
just
where
gray.
It's just grey. But these ones where you can just see outlines of things.
Very atmospheric.
Very, very atmospheric. I think we should do a perfectly harmless recreation of it, just so people got an idea.
What? How? Wow, talcum powder?
Dry ice, yeah.
Dry ice, but yellow.
Yellow.
Pissy dry ice. Yes, our fault or God's fault?
Cole's fault.
Cole's fault.
Our fault.
Our fault.
For using coal.
God put coal in the ground?
Difficult, isn't it?
God wouldn't have put coal in the ground if he didn't want us to set fire to it and kill a whole shitload of people.
All right, God's fault it is.
No, I think you're right.
Our fault.
Our fault. So that was the 1952 smog. Phil, do you enjoy it?
I found this probably the most fascinating one to research of everything we've done so far, because I'm still utterly amazed that this isn't a massive thing that we have commemorations for every year.
Yeah.
There are statues in London. There's nothing.
Why do you think that is?
I wonder whether a part of it is because the attitude at the time was just, this is normal, it's just a bit worse than what we're used to. And I wonder if there's a little bit of not wanting to admit that.
Yeah, maybe.
Some of the stuff that we'd...
Brush it under the carpet.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yes, that was this week's CB Wallop podcast. What are we doing next week, Phil?
We are going to do BBC's wonderful soap opera, El Dorado.
Looking forward to that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, what is our Twitter handle?
At CB Wallop.
And is Facebook still a thing?
Yeah, we do Facebook, but it's just look for Crash Bang Wallop.
I mean, or just delete it. Just delete Facebook.
I've had enough of Facebook.
Bullshit, just delete it.
Here's some beheaded dolphins. Sign this petition. It's 7 a.m, I haven't had my breakfast. Let me just chill in the morning. Don't give me things to care about.
And on that brutal point, it's time to end. Thank you very much for tuning into the CB Wallop podcast. Join us next time for El Dorado. See you next time. Goodbye.
I think we got the facts out.